It's time to take off on the Award Travel 101 podcast. Helping you maximize your travel rewards, no matter your destination or budget. Now here are your hosts, Award Travel 101 community managers, Angie Sparks and Joseph Petrovic, to help you do extraordinary things on ordinary money.
When it comes to award travel, earning points is easier than redeeming them for the best value. Rather than spending hours per trip searching on your own, let Thrifty Traveler Premium's army of flight analysts do the work for you with their customized premium alerts. Since we're seeing award space to more locations than we've seen in years, you will know that you have a partner you can trust watching out for you and that you're getting a great deal every single day from Thrifty Traveler's premium alert service.
Whether using miles or points, or you're just looking for a cheap cash flight, Thrifty Traveler Premium will send customized alerts just for you. Just recently, with the help of Thrifty Traveler's premium alerts, I was able to book the brand new Japan Airlines A350-1000 in business class to Tokyo for just 60,000 American Advantage miles and $5.60. I've booked previous alerts like Emirates business class for Milan on the A380 for 73,000 points, Iberia business class to Venice for 34,000 points, and business class on ITAs, or you might recognize it as ITA, brand new A330-900neo for 54,000 points from Rome to New York City.
So if you want more premium deal award alerts sent straight to your inbox, head on over to thriftytraveler.com and use promo code AT101 for $10 off your first year and tell us where you're hoping Thrifty Traveler Premium will take you. And we're back for episode 54 of the Award Travel 101 podcast. I'm Angie Sparks, and Joe is actually under the weather this week and lost his voice. So I am joined by our friend, Mike Zacchio. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Angie. How you doing?
I'm good.
Good to see
you. You and I have never done one of these yet together.
Yeah, I don't think so. I've been, it's been a few months since I've been on. But yeah, I've done a bunch with Joe and Allison and Eric. That was a fun one. But yeah, I'm glad to chat with you tonight.
Something different. So we've got an interesting highlight feature this week. So we're going to go ahead and jump right in with our post of the week. Z Stacy received a 1099 from Chase and was quite concerned. And so a bunch of people chimed in that everybody's getting 1099s this year. I know I got a couple from American Express. I got one from Chase. And these are for referral bonuses that people got on cards. What did you get?
Yeah, As far as I know, I haven't gotten any yet. Like I've been traveling, so I haven't checked my mail every day. But I get the scans from the post office. But I don't think I've gotten anything. I'm sure they're coming because I know at least with Chase, I've gotten over 100,000 points to referrals, mostly with Inkst for friends who have businesses that I refer to. So I'm sure it's coming. I mean, to me, it's kind of silly. It's like, I mean, of course, I think I've wrote memes about the government, taking squeezing right. Everything you're worth. I mean, because it's like, I can't pay my tax bill in UR points. I mean, no. I guess I could cash them out, but that would be terrible redemption that we would never do. So it's very odd that you get one of these. But I mean, hey, write it off as a business expense. So,
and not that we're giving tax advice.
Yeah, yes. Not at all. But
well, and you're probably safe because 1099s need to be mailed out by January 31st, I think you have to have received them by January 31st.
Yeah.
So you're safe. I can't figure out what cards they were on because I know both of us had a substantial number of Chase referrals, and I probably don't want to be putting this out there and, advertising this. And my Chase 1099 wasn't nearly as high as my Amex one. So I don't know. But, they're valuing these points at 1 cent. And I know you and we're getting way more value than what this 1099, the tax impact on a $600 1099. So. I will keep doing my referrals and getting those extra points.
Yeah, even the worst Hyatt place I stay at, I definitely get more than 1 cent value.
So let's get into the news. There's really not been a whole heck of a lot. We do have quite a few, hotel promos going on. I think WardWallet had a post with like 35 or something just for the month of February. there's some by points promos that are going on. So we won't go into those. But one of the big changes that's happened is the Delta card has made a bunch of changes. What happened with those? Because I don't fly Delta.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really either. I mean, they're, you know, sometimes I use them. I do. I think the only thing I enjoy about Delta these days is their lounges. I mean, a lot of the Sky Clubs are quite nice. So I'm always going to, you know, keep that as an option. But the Delta card, I mean, I had like the gold card a few years ago. I actually canceled it. And, you know, it's part of my strategy. I think I'll talk about it in a little bit. But so they've rolled out some changes, you know, Delta and Amex is, you know, it seems like anytime they come out with something, it's always some sort of sad news, but higher annual fee, more of the Amex coupon book, you know,
that
just, and look, I mean, if people can somehow, you know, get value of that, it's very easy to offset the annual fee. You know, like we look at the Amex Platinum, our business platinums, you know, honestly, you know, we're able to get value and justify those fees with a lot of those credits that we can utilize. But also with the Delta card, there's some changes to the companion pass, which I think are generally positive. You can use it in more locations. And I think other than the lower 48. So there, you know, for some people, there might be some value there. But I think overall, you know, we had some discussion about it in the group, but it's overall generally negative. So,
of course it is, because it's an improvement. We love those improvements.
Enhancements, yes.
Yes. I used to have a Delta Gold card, and I got an upgrade offer to get like the Platinum card or something. And it was a time when I was trying to get, you know, get under 524, and I was trying not to have any more, you know, hard pulls. And I just happened to get that offer right when I, you know, needed a new card. It was like, okay, sure. Yeah, I could apply for it outright and probably get a better offer, but this works great. You know, I think I had it a year. I never once used the companion fare that it comes with. It's not like the Southwest Companion Pass, which is a year of BOGO or 2 years of BOGO. It's one time. I was never able to use it. And I'm like, okay, well, this is dumb. I'm not going to keep paying this. So now I have the blue card, which truly it gives me zero value. And it's just, I'm keeping it for the credit limit. But since I have 5 Amex credit cards right now, I think that one's about to get the bite the dust so that I have room to get something else.
Yeah, it just doesn't carry its own weight.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. So the next piece of news is Marriott has a promo going on starting February 13th and going through April 29th. We are pretty sure this is on paid stays, but it is an extra 1,000 points per night and you get double elite qualifying nights. So this is a great option if you are trying to get to the next level of status. It's like, I have gold. Thank you. The fact that I have an Amex Platinum, but because I also have a personal Amex Marriott card and a business Marriott card, I already have 30 nights. So this means to get that extra 20 nights, I really only need 10 nights somewhere.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out if it makes sense to do it, because, you know, if I have to spend $1 zillion on a mattress run just to get free breakfast,
yeah,
it's probably not worth it. But it's
probably not.
What about you?
Actually, I've been starting to come back to Marriott a little bit. I a couple of years ago attained platinum status through a challenge. I was traveling for work a bit and pretty much had no choice but to stay at a Marriott. So I did the challenge and I got platinum. I think it was like 16 nights. That's actually just about to run out. So I'm actually looking at other options. And, you know, with some of the cards and with these double night promos, you know, getting back to platinum could be feasible. So I'll definitely be looking at that. Obviously, you know, Marriott will never take the place of my beloved Hyatt, but I think it's a solid number two, you know, with Hilton not too far behind. But I just, you know, anymore, I just feel like Hilton has disappointed me in how, you know, really their lack of any type of elite program. I know, you know, in certain locations internationally, like, you know, diamond status is worthwhile. But I mean, I was like in London last year at a, you know, in one of their main properties. And like, I just wasn't impressed by what diamond status offered me. So bottom line is, yeah, I think I'm going to try and leverage the Marriott status more. And well, opportunities like this is beneficial.
I have to say, for members, do the math and see if it does make sense for you go for this. Because, you know, 10 nights and you get to the next level of status, and you plan to have several Marriott stays throughout this year, it really could make sense. But if you don't have those stays planned or you don't have the trips where that's an option, you know, your money might be better served somewhere else. So,
well, yeah, I know. Yeah. We never encourage blindly chasing status. I mean, you know, that'd be silly if we would do that.
I don't know anybody in this hobby that would do that at all. That's about it for the news. Let's talk about trips. Mm-hmm. We all know my trips are like incredibly depressing at the moment. I fully canceled Australia and I've gotten all my points back and my taxes and fees back. So my United and my AA balances look nice and healthy again, but I'm very sad about that. But P2 and P3 are talking about doing a boys trip, which I will be paying for that with points for them, I'm sure. But, you know, it's very funny when our significant others want to go on a trip and they want us to use our points for it because they don't understand how it really works.
Oh, yes.
So we haven't gotten there yet. And but of course, you know, they've mentioned, oh, let's go to Kalispell, Montana. I'm like, well, that's awesome, but it's really hard to get there and Southwest doesn't fly there. And I do have a companion pass and P2 wanted to know if there's any way they could use the companion pass. It's like, no, it
no.
doesn't work that way.
There's no guest of honor on Southwest.
There is not. So that's going to be fun. I can't wait to work on that one. But my girlfriends and I were talking about dates for our Montana trip and really starting to look at pricing. And I had a big talk with the girls last weekend when they were here for Gasparilla. And actually, I have to say, Mike, that somebody said, you know, I think Mardi Gras is probably wilder than what we had. And I had to look at her and say, just let me tell you, we were in a private tent. This is the difference between being in the Centurion Lounge or being at the gate for a Spirit flight. So if I had kicked you out of the tent across the street, then you could really compare it to Mardi Gras. But anyway. So
I did see the beads. The beads were impressive.
We were very successful that day. Anyway, so we started talking about what we wanted to do, and I don't know that we're not going to really be able to get a tulip trip in this year, and we may not even be able to do one next year, just timing-wise, but so it may not be a full tulip trip, but we're talking possibly go to Canada for the Christmas markets in Quebec, or I may stay warm and go to San Diego instead.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, Canada in the winter for you, that's...
I know, and I talked to somebody who did them a couple of years ago, and she said, go to Europe. You'll actually be warmer if you do that. But I can do a short weekend to fly out to Canada. You know, I don't need as many points because I'm okay with flying economy for that short of a flight. But we did start talking about maybe for our 2025 trip. And oh my God, I can't believe that's the year, doing Slovenia and Northern Croatia. So we're in the pondering stage and the research. So nothing booked, but pondering, which is a little more exciting than just canceling.
I'm sure it will be epic.
It will be epic. We're hoping Allison can go with us.
Anyway,
So how about you? Let me live vicariously. What do you got going on?
So, I mean, honestly, not a whole lot. Well, not a lot of volume right now, other than work. But a few months ago, I did a few short trips. I think I talked about some of them in the previous episode. One was, you know, I talked about Mardi Gras. I was actually in New Orleans. It was my first time there, but I had a friend that had a milestone birthday. So he wanted to go there and, you know, basically hang out for the weekend, sans kids. And rather than, you know, spend $1,000 for a weekend at, you know, some random American city, you know, I used some Hyatt points, some AA miles, flew P2 and myself down there. And, you know, we had a good time. So we stay at the Hyatt Centric, which it's a pretty good location. Right there, it's, you know, the back, you know, their back door is on Bourbon Street. So, you know,
that's got peaceful.
Right there in the middle of the action. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, not a huge fan of Bourbon Street. I like more the along the border, like the Decatur Street, which is more, I think, more a little classier. And, you know, a lot of the old French architecture and stuff like that. So that was neat. So, you know, the moral is, you know, wins and, you know, using points doesn't need to be big, you know, not all these epic trips. Sometimes they can be silly, you know, like our pancake run that Joe and I had to unfortunately cancel. I know he spoke about, but, you know, or sometimes they are pretty big, like my upcoming trip to Australia, which is coming up in a month.
Oh my gosh, it is.
Yeah. And unfortunately, yeah, you won't be joining us.
I won't. So sad.
But I did get the inspiration, you know, from you and others, you know, that one night when it was like 9-10 months ago now, United opened up the Polaris availability. So I was able to book it. Initially, it was Polaris both ways, and I had really short time on the ground, like 3 days or something, you know, which is, you know, insane. So I ended up extending it. I had one option on Singapore. That was just kind of out of the way for me. And then, you know, another just stroke of luck, or, you know, paying attention to alert services. I actually got an alert from Trifty Traveler, our partner on the podcast, for American business spaced from LA to Sydney. It was like 60,000 miles. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, that's pretty good deal, you know, and obviously, you know, I booked that. I was actually, you know, I talked about this. I was online for the Maid of the Mist. We went to Niagara Falls.
Oh, I remember that.
Online, and I was booking it, and like, you know, P2, and like my kids are like, what are you doing? Like, I'm like, I gotta book this. Like, this is Australia. I gotta do this. So I got it as soon as we got in the elevator. Like, I got the confirmation, you know, like, all right, I got it. So I got pretty much a direct route, not nonstop, but more direct for my route to Australia. Cause, you know, it's not easy to get to.
It's very far away.
Yeah. So obviously have that, you know, lie flats the whole way. To get to LA, I felt like, well, you know, there's a million ways to get to LA, but, you know, what are some of the best routes? Obviously, some of the premium transcon, so like on American. So we're actually backtracking a little bit to JFK, hopping on the American flagship A321 and flying. It's just in J in business class, but flying that to LA, then hopping on for Sydney. Then staying.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, staying 8 nights there, so. Be a lot of fun.
So you're not going to go to Singapore at all this time now?
No, but I do. Now I'm sitting on a bunch of Singapore miles, and I know they have a hard 3-year expiration.
I think it's 3 years, yeah.
So, you know, at some point I think I'll use it, whether it's, you know, maybe take one of their Fifth Freedoms, like to Europe, like to, you know,
go to Singapore. It's awesome.
Or to Singapore, yes. Like you took the longest flight in the world.
It's so awesome. It's expensive though. It's certainly not the cheap weekend that you would be looking for.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And then I think it's, you know, I thought about doing a stopover, but you know, I want to give it justice. So yeah, I'll definitely fit that in at some point. And then other than that, I've been doing, you know, work travel. I've been going to Kansas about once a month. And obviously that's not terribly exciting, but you know, the work that we do, or, you know, in our hobby here, you know, it makes all sorts of travel better. Leisure, work, you know, obviously, you know, on you know, revenue fares paid by my employer, I can earn points, miles, hotel nights, and my status that I've accumulated, you know, I can get upgrades. I've had a pretty good upgrade rate on American. I think, you know, probably 95% in the past few months, but that's just because I think it's kind of a low season. But I mean, obviously it's, you know,
not a lot
unofficial.
Of demand between Erie and Kansas in the middle of winter. No.
Yeah, and in January, February. So I guess I shouldn't, you know, inflate my ego too much. That's what the luggage tags are for.
Exactly.
But then also lounge access. You know, I don't travel anywhere, you know, without having lounge access. That's why I kind of, you know, we get questions in the group like, oh, what's the best lounge card? And it's like, I'm probably not the best person to answer that.
No.
My answer is all of them. So that's what I do. And actually, I took some coworkers into the Capital One Lounge yesterday at DFW, and then still had time. So I hopped over to the Centurion Lounge. And, you know, to be honest with you, I've been to the Capital One Lounge there at DFW a couple times now. I still like the Centurion. I mean, obviously crowd levels have a big factor on it. And both of them were about the same level. I mean, they were full, but not overcrowded. You know, we were able to get seats without waiting too long. But I don't know. I just like the Centurion Lounge, the decor, the food. I think is, I don't know, just heartier. Like I don't know. It's just I think I'm always gonna, you know, have a place for an Amex Platinum or two in my wallet for that reason. So.
You sure it's not because you left your coworkers in the Capital One Lounge or went to the Centurion Lounge by yourself?
Well, I actually brought one because I did get the complimentary. That's another thing. I got the complimentary
guest
access. Yeah. So I didn't spend And I don't think this was a fluke, so I probably could talk about it openly because I've spent enough on American Express cards, I think, to justify it. But I noticed lately they, or, you know, past couple of years, once they've entered the new year and I guess saw how many people actually qualified by spending that $75,000 on one card, if they feel like they had, you know, they were feeling extra generous, they would give it to other folks who maybe spent
across all their cards.
Maybe spent a significant amount across the cards. Because if you add it up, yeah, I spent more than that, but not on one card. So, you know.
Okay.
But yeah, that was kind of nice.
Well, they didn't give it to me, but I don't think I came quite that close.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was, for me, it was kind of by accident because like I spent, you know, spent some on my business platinum, which was also my business gold because I upgraded that and got pretty good bonus offer last year on the business gold and then the upgrade offer, spending on that. And then my Hilton cards, they earn those free night certificates. So it adds up. So,
Okay.
So speaking of cards, as we move on to the bonus section, what bonuses did you get?
Well, I am almost finished with the Wyndham card. I think I've got $300 left on that one. And guess what? I'll be going to the grocery store this week and going to Sam's and doing all sorts of things. So that will come very soon. Since I've got these big expenses coming up at the house, I'm like, well, it's time to get a new card. And once Capital One Venture X Business dropped its spend requirement, I'm like, yes, it is time to get that. Well, they decided, no, it is not time to get this. So I was declined for it. I'm like, all right, well, you know, P2's never had a business gold card. And I'm like, okay, well, that'll work. Let's go ahead and go get him one of those. So I went searching for one of the, you know, the big offers that are out there. And I found one and applied. And no, he applied. Pop-up message. I was like, oh, you will not be eligible. And I'm like, oh, heck, all right. So cancel that. So then it was like, okay, well, the Alaska card's got a really good offer. So I tried to use our link. I couldn't get it to work. It's like I've been messaging, you know, it's saying, I really want to apply for this card and I need it really soon. So make this happen. But I don't think it's going to happen time enough for me to get this. So I'm going to go ahead and take advantage of my zero APR cards that I have. I've got two inks that both have that. And then I also have a Hilton business card that, if you know, same thing like you've got the Surpass, that if you spend $15,000, you get another free night certificate. So it's not quite as nice as getting a big honking sign up bonus, but you know, it's something. It's better than nothing. And yeah. I did notice today that I was on my Amex account and I looked on my Amex checking account. And it showed that 3 out of 3 of the required activities to earn the bonus had been completed. So the points haven't posted yet. So I'm going to get 50,000 points for that and another 20,000 points for doing both the card and the checking account. So that'll be a nice little bonus, bonus when that happens.
Yes.
So what about you?
Nice little welcome offer.
Yes. It'll be lovely to get that. Mm-hmm. If only I could go on a trip and spend those points. It would be so nice. What kind of cards have you gotten?
Well, actually, you know, you remind me, I did get that Amex business checking offer as well. I've got 2 out of 3 of the requirements and I'm pretty close to the last one. So I should also be getting that. I mean, you know, for opening up a checking account and using it for, you know, your business expenses,
right.
You know, it's really a no-brainer. So that's good. I think it's 50,000 points. So, you know, nice little padding to the MR balance. Also, a few months ago, I think, well, in the fall, I got the Capital One Venture X, which this card has kind of eluded me. Well, as a business version for you, I applied about 2 years ago and I was denied for having too many accounts, or so was their reason.
Right.
So I actually did work on it. I worked on closing some, like my Delta card, an AA Platinum, because I have like 4 American Airlines cards. Like I didn't need that. Like an old Kohl's card. And you gotta balance your previous episode we're talking about strengthening your credit score and stuff. And you really gotta look at what plays the biggest factor. And it's, you know, number one is utilization. You know, as long as you keep your balances low when they close, you know, you're really gonna be fine. length of accounts is obviously, you know, length of credit history is a big one too. But as long as you have, you know, some older cards to, you know, bring up your average, it's fine. So I had this Kohl's card since, I don't know, maybe 12 years, but it wasn't really doing anything. And, you know, if an issuer like Capital One is looking at, you know, me for having too many cards, I said, well, you know what, this, I don't need this. So I closed it.
Did you see a hit to your credit score when you closed it?
Not much, like 5 points. And then obviously it went back up.
Okay.
So it's, you know, and now honestly, like, I think my score is better than it's been in a long time. Cause I've really worked on keeping the utilization down. And that's, to me, is the biggest impact on my score. Mm-hmm. Other thing, as we talk a lot, are our ink cards. I got an ink cash. I know, you know, Chase is very credit score sensitive for me, especially for business cards, as I found. So I waited for that, for my score to bump up. I applied, got that 90K right before it expired.
Oh, nice.
And I'm working on that bonus, you know, with some business expenses, leveraging things like the office supplies, getting some material for home office renovation. So it's working out pretty well. And then, you know, next in my sights, as I said, is, you know, probably expanding into more Marriott cards, and maybe, you know, an easy way to get platinum also is that American Express card. The what B is it? The Brilliant, I think it is.
The Brilliant.
I have to refer to my own chart. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it gives you platinum status, which I think is a good medium level status, you know, for a hotel where, you know, even Hyatt, like, you know, Explorers is like, just kind of so-so, but I think platinum is, you know, pretty good.
I think platinum is probably, you know, that's really where you start actually getting any meaningful benefits and perks out of it. Cause that's where you'll get the free breakfast and you get the 4 PM late checkout and you earn more on stays and things like that. You know, but again, if I'm not going to be staying at Marriott's enough this year to make it worthwhile, then it's not worthwhile. Yeah. And I shot myself in the foot by P2 had an old, like the legacy SPG card, and we should have product changed it up to a Brilliant because he got the Ritz card right before they closed it to new applications. And since he has a Ritz card, he is not eligible to apply outright for the Brilliant card. So I kind of missed.
Oh, really?
I missed that one. Oh, yeah.
But you love your Ritz card.
I do love my Ritz card.
Or your P2's Ritz card.
Yes. And I'm like 2 months away from where I'll be able to product change my Boundless and get my own Ritz card.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And they just sent, you know, like the expiration date or whatever. Our new ones just came in the mail today. And they are heavy. They went back to metal cards for these things. I'm like, I could use this as a weapon. Sharpen it. I've got a shiv here. Probably I'm not supposed to be saying that on a podcast.
As a tool, a weapon.
I'll use it. Yeah, if I lived where it was cold, I could use it to scrape my windows. Mm-hmm. But that's not an issue in Florida.
Yes. So I guess speaking of P2s, I guess that leads us to our highlight feature.
Yes. So in honor of Valentine's Day, because this episode is going to air the Friday or is going to drop the Friday before Valentine's Day, we wanted to talk about how to have a successful and well-trained P2 for a happy partnership in this hobby. So first off, what is a P2? Mike, tell them.
So we have a lot of acronyms in this hobby, and this one's thrown around quite a bit, but P2 means player two. So like in a game, you know, we have, you know, multiplayer mode. So if you have a significant other that, you know, that you trust, you know, you don't have to be married to them, but, you know, probably somebody that you trust with your finances, you can have them apply for cards. And across many programs, you can pool points or you can leverage certain strategies and, you know, really double your earning potential. So it's, you know, something that, you know, all of us who have that special person in our life who puts up with us, you know, we tend to generally leverage. So
how involved is your P2? Is she more of a, just tell me that I got a new card, or is it?
Yeah, she doesn't want to see the statements or know pretty much anything. Yeah, I think she wants to know if I open a card. But, you know, usually it's like, oh, she wants something like, oh, we got a new hot tub. It's like, well, I need to get a new card for the bonus. So,
right.
No, she kind of knows if there's big expenses that come up, then we're gonna get a new card.
And just so people understand this, player two is fully on board with our doing this. We're not doing anything shady and being like, yes. Oh yeah, honey, don't worry about what I'm doing over here. They are fully on board with this. There's no fraud happening. Mm-hmm. It's more a matter of, okay, if you say we need a new card, you know, go ahead. Here, I'll open one. And I will also know that anytime we have to call a bank for anything, you know, my P2 is just like, can you speak to my wife? She's the one that handles all of this stuff.
See, I think your P2 and my P2 are very similar in that regard in their, you know, involvement or desired lack of involvement in this hobby.
Yes, but Allison, they just want to leverage the benefits. My P2 join the group, though.
Yes, yes. See, I think I'm the only one who my P2 is not in the group. You know?
Well, he knows he needs to be very careful with any of his comments that he makes, because I have the power to kick him out of the group.
Yes.
So what are some more tips? What are some tips that we have to have a successful P2 partnership?
So obviously over the years I've tried some different things, like, you know, my card labeling. Mm-hmm. Actually that whole thing evolved for the benefit of P2. You know, because as we got more cards, you know, trying to leverage and manage these bonus categories, like she needed to use the right card. So what's more simple than write it on a label? For some reason, she still managed to mess that up, whether it was on purpose or she just had more important things to focus on. It's, you know, I've evolved my strategy. So I basically give her as few cards as possible, and cards that have that are basically set it and forget it cards, like Freedom Unlimited or an Ink Unlimited for her side business. So at a minimum, I'm going to earn 1.5% or 1.5x. Or if she goes out, you know, goes out to dinner, 3x on dining on the CFU. So it's a lot easier than trying to have her manage all these cards. And, you know, I always get the complaint that, you know, particularly with certain issuers, that there's too many blue cards. I can't handle this. I'm like, well, like, I gave you an Amex Gold, like, that's, you know, and it said grocery on the front. Like, you know, can you not, you know, manage that? So I've even taken that away and just keep it on these simple cards, whatever you want to do. Because at the end, you know, it's not worth sweating over a few hundred points to, you know, put strain on your relationship like that. So that's really my best strategy, just to keep it simple. What are some tips that you employ?
Yeah, I think P2 bought a Dynamo label maker, and that kind of did save our marriage, because he got tired of being yelled at. And he also could complain that he couldn't read my writing, because I would do hand labeled ones, you know, like I'd have like little stickers or something I'd stick on it. And he'd be like, what does this say? So he went out and went to Amazon, his favorite place, and bought the Dynamo label maker. And he sits, he'll pull out his wallet every so often and be like, all right, do I have the right cards now? And even though he's not been traveling, he really does want to do this right, because he doesn't want to get scolded, I guess. But he carries, I want to say, actually, he carries 4 cards. He has the Amex Gold, and that is labeled as food. So he knows if he is buying in the grocery store or in a restaurant, use that one. He's got a City Premier, and that one is labeled as gas and non-Amex restaurants. So if you go someplace and they don't take an Amex, there you go, 3X. And he has a City Double Cash, so he's getting 2X on everything. So worst case scenario, just use the other card.
Yeah.
But we kind of have established a threshold that if it is under $100, just whatever. I'm not going to stress about it. It's not that big of a deal. But if it's over $100, just please call and confirm first. And, you know, the issue will come, though, that I'll be in the middle of playing, you know, I'm playing golf and the phone rings. And I'm like, well, I'm in the middle of a swing. I can't answer it. And so then it'll ring again and I'll answer it. I'm like, what? He's like, okay, I have to book this. What card do I use? So I haven't trained well in that regard, at least. So.
You know, it would be nice if they came up with an app that, you know, you could like approve purchases. Like apps, like my daughter, you know, we got her an iPhone and she downloads an app and I need to approve it. Imagine if, you know, a pending charge comes through for over $100 and you have to approve it for your P2.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe a Ward Wallet can somehow incorporate that.
There we go. Or we could create it and be rich and we don't have to worry about points ever again. So keep it simple, you know, that whole acronym, keep it simple, stupid. Make certain that your P2 knows when a new card has been applied for, because I know that he applied for an Amex Business Gold card, you know, a couple months ago, you know, back when that first offer was around, and he had a phone call from Amex about, did you apply for this? He goes, did I apply for this? But I was out of town.
Let me talk to my business manager.
Right. Let me talk to my manager about this. And that's straight up what he told them too. He's like, I don't know. He goes, my manager or my financial manager or whatever handles all these things for me. But it's important. He's like, please just let me know things like that. So
yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, this is not fraud. They are fully aware that this is going on. And whatever, like when the Ritz cards came today, he's like, did we get more new cards? Is this new? I'm like, no, it's just replacing because the expiration date. Like, do we have more cards? Like, you just don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it.
So I think we solicited some tips from our team, and Eric shared some or one with his P2 Jen. And she seems pretty advanced, actually. I mean, she is. Like, she's come to meetups. She's, you know, maybe almost like a, you know, P1.5.
Yeah.
But she actually uses leverages the shopping portals and the MPX app.
I'm impressed that she does that.
Yeah, that is really impressive. Because I know there's very few who would have the patience to sit and wait for that gift card to load when you're in the checkout line. But
I don't even have the patience to use it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. But apparently she uses that when she goes to stores like TJ Maxx, you know, to do that double dip. That's impressive.
Yeah. If you can teach your P2 to use a shopping portal, either like going through Rakuten or, you know, whatever it might be, just so that you can double dip and get extra ones. I have 16,000 points on JetBlue, and I have never transferred a point to them, flown them or anything, but they used to have a shopping portal that you could shop on Amazon and earn 3x points for every dollar spent. And I convinced him, I'm like, I need you to just take one step, one extra step before you go buy that thing. And so we have all these points there now. I'm like, okay, cool. I so wish that I had known that that had been a thing before it died, or that it had never died, but it did.
Yeah.
So, and probably the number one suggestion from all the P2s is just tell me which card to use so I don't get yelled at.
Yes.
There's a whole happy wife, happy life that goes both ways.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Happy P2 is good for you.
Very good. There we go. So I think that covers really kind of how to have a successful P2 partnership. What's our tip of the week, Mike?
So in relation to that, I've done lots of extensive research about this. And I think the very best travel reward strategy is to marry a P1.
Yes.
Because they'll do all the work for you.
Yeah. You know what, though? I think I'm enough of a control freak. I don't think I could do it. I'd still have to be in charge.
Yeah, me too.
But, all right, on a serious note, what kind of tip do we have this week?
Well, actually, you know, and it's something that comes up every time, you know, this time of the year, but with Valentine's Day coming up and our shopping portals, they often offer elevated bonuses at places like FTD, 1-800-Flowers, chocolate places. So, you know, not only can you, you know, send gifts to your P2, your mother, your aunt, your kid's teacher, but you can earn valuable extra miles, particularly through portals like American Airlines or Rakuten, which are some of my go-tos. So definitely check out the shopping portals. Check out Cashback Monitor, which is a site that aggregates and tracks all of the shopping portals. Because that's gonna earn you, you know, free points. Like it's doesn't matter what card you use, you know, and it's a great for a P2 also. Uh-huh. You know, sometimes you can tell them like, hey, I don't care what you get me, just make sure you click through this site and use this card to earn it. So that's my tip of the week is you know, make sure you're stacking those points.
Well, I think that concludes our episode for this week. So, Mike, tell everybody where they can find us.
So, as always, you can find us in the 100,000 plus member Award Travel 101 community on Facebook. For more advanced strategies, you can join us in the Award Travel 201 premium group. And you can also book time with our team through the Award Travel one-on-one, which I think Angie is quite involved with. So if you want to really up your game and discuss strategy for earning and burning, you can book one of those. You can also email us at contactawardtravel@gmail.com. And my number one favorite way to interact with the community is in person. So we have a meetup coming up. This one is in San Antonio at the end of April, April 26th to the 28th. It's currently sold out, but you can get on our wait list. And to learn more, you can visit Taco About a Fiesta on our Eventbrite page. So, and also keep us in mind whenever you're applying for your next card. Please support us and the community through our links.
Thanks for joining us. It was good talking with you, Mike. Have a good night.
Always a pleasure. Good night.
Bye.